Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Got to turn some lights on so I can see what I'm doing. The older you get, the dimmer the eyes. Oh, boy. Okay. Praise the Lord.
You know, using the mind with the tongue.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's been an interesting season, hasn't it? A lot of things have happened. Things that will confuse us, confound us, and try to take us off our minds, take our minds off of the Lord. It is amazing how things are working out in the world. Even during this time of campaigning, which is beginning to be very nauseating. It's amazing how they can keep your mind on so many things in such a short time. And what is it? It's the radio. It's the media. It's the television. It's the newspaper. It's the magazines. And everything that comes along is there to take your mind off of everything, of anything that is comparing to the word I'm trying to get. Anything that will take your mind off of God. So what are we doing? What have we committed ourselves to? And today, as I was praying and I was thanking God for the things that He's given me, He was talking to me about commitment. And I thought, oh boy, commitment. You know, commitment is a very powerful word when you really think of it. It's also a little bit like consecrating, committing your life or consecrating your life to the works of God. It's interesting how these words can interact with each other. Now, commitment is entrusting, it's performing, it's you can say pledging or binding yourself. That's quite a bit right there, isn't it? But it also entangles oneself. You become entangled into what you've committed yourself to. When I became a Christian, I didn't know how entangled I would get or how much commitment there would be, because there was not too much commitment in my life at that time. The only thing I committed myself to was to a beautiful woman. At that time, I got married, and before that, I was nowhere near giving my life to the Lord. But Marie's commitment was different. She was committed to the Lord first, and then to me. And I thought that might be, well, that's a little bit tough to take, you know. But I thought, oh well, okay, I can handle that. I don't see God around anywhere, so I'm okay. He wasn't in the house, so. And then as we went along, we had children, and I was getting a little, what would you call it, guilty? You betcha. There was Marie. She was very committed to what she was doing and to her children, to her family. She was doing the things that a committed wife would do. And I thought, what do I do? How far do I go with all this? So then I thought, well, okay, I'll go to church. Well, I went a couple of times, and it didn't work out at all. I couldn't grasp any of it. Then we moved to the States. And here's where I found people that were more committed than what I saw up in Canada. And the people here in the States weren't afraid to talk about God. They didn't hold it as a secret. They didn't say that it was a personal thing and I don't talk about things like that. I've heard it here, but not as much as I did in Canada. So then I thought, okay. We went to church and I met a couple of guys that I've mentioned before in other messages. And they got my eyes opened. They came over to our house. They gave us Bible study. And these two boys, Robin and Al, were very committed. And thank God that they were. Committed men. Committed to the Word of God, to the life of God, to the life of Jesus, to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Was something that I marveled at these guys, and I thought, wow, these guys are something else. They really go for all this. So as we went along, we thought, well, okay, something had dawned on me. If I don't do something quick, there won't be anything left of me. I wouldn't be here. I had that feeling. So I gave my life to the Lord. And praise God that it's been uphill all the time, all the way. And the commitment that I made was to doing His work. Well, that was something I didn't know how to do. And I was wondering, you know, what do I actually want to do with my life? And how do I go about being committed to the Lord? Well, I found out that somebody asked me a couple of questions at work one day. And I started telling them what I knew. Just the simple things. Very simple. I told them, and I says, I've just been a Christian for about maybe a month or two. But I says, what I know, I'll share with you. And we talked. And the more I did this, the more comfortable I became with it. And the more joy I got out of it. And there was a quickness in the mind. It changed. My attitudes towards people changed. My attitude towards different colors of skin. My attitude towards people that are hurting. They all changed. And I didn't do it. No, I didn't do it. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. It was great. And it says in Psalm 31:5, King David uttered these words, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." When he was facing a lot of enemies. And then also, Jesus says the same thing in Luke 37. Or in Luke 23:46, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So he committed his spirit to the Lord, to his Father. And that's what I do. That's what I'm doing. Every day, I want to commit more and more to the Lord's work. I want to see the Spirit manifesting himself in different ways, in healing for people. Helping people, being able to talk to people without becoming awkward. You know, it's amazing. When you ask the Lord to give you somebody to talk to this day, just ask him. You'll end up talking to somebody about it. I remember one time I said, okay, Lord, one morning I said, Lord, I don't know. I said, but today I'd like to talk to somebody about you. And the whole day went through, and not a person that wanted to talk, it didn't come up at all. And I thought, oh my Lord, what have I done? Have I missed an opportunity? And the phone rang. And it was an old friend, an old person, an acquaintance of mine. And we got into a conversation about the Lord beyond anything I ever heard him talk or had the opportunity to talk to him about. I mean, we went into Scripture. I opened the Bible and had to talk to him about that. Showed him where these things were. He asked me questions. And I sat there and I was just absolutely blown away. I mean, it was just, I mean, my scalp was just, my hair was standing straight up. My skin was crawling. It was just the thrill, the joy that comes over with being committed to the Lord. And speaking to others about him. So then, commit thy ways. Psalm 37:5. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Now there's a ways. What do you mean by ways? commit thy ways. That would be the way you speak, the way you talk, the way you think, the way you act. Commit your ways to the Lord. And the more you think of it, the more you think about committing your ways to the Lord, thinking, speaking, thoughts, acting, everything, it's amazing how it changes your personality. It will. Had you folks known me before, I think you would have been a little discouraged, a little disgusted with the way I acted, the way I talked, the way I walked, the way I did, the way I thought. It wasn't good. But thanks be to God for a woman that had patience with me. And God's patience with me. More so his patience. Because he just took all those things, wiped them away, started afresh. Each day was different. Each day was a different commitment, a different attitude, a different walk, a different talk. Slowly, I became different. And then it says also, commit thy works unto the Lord. That's Psalm 16:3. Commit thy works. That's everything that you're doing. If it's for your livelihood, yes, we got to do something to make our house payments, to make all the payments and everything else, to eat and sleep in a comfortable and warmer place. Commit thy works. That's a little more difficult when it comes to a lot of things when you do. There are so many jobs that I've had, so many different things that I've done. And I've asked my Lord, I said, there are things here that they don't make any sense. I don't understand what I'm doing here. I don't know what to do. And I've told you some of those things that have happened. When I've been dumbfounded by some electronics that was just absolutely gone berserk and I didn't have a clue of what was going on. And the Lord slowly said, okay, do this, do this, do this, and all of a sudden there's the answer. It just came out of nowhere. Out of nowhere? No. It came from the Lord. It came from the Lord. He showed me so many things in so many different ways. I was telling some of the guys here that the other day, just yesterday, I was plowing snow with a snow plow and the cable broke and I had no way of replacing it. And I thought, okay, I'll do it. Let's see, I can do it this way, I can do it that way, I can do this. I had all kinds of ways of fixing it. And I was talking to Marie and I just sat there, we were just lying there in bed and just talking, you know, yakking away. And all of a sudden, boom, there was a picture in my mind, exactly how to do it. I did it. I put it together. A couple of things need to be changed in what I did. And it's working perfectly. It's a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit to make this thing right. And it's going to last a lot longer than what was on there originally. I want to tell you a couple of stories. There's a guy by the name of Adoniram, A-D-O-N-I-R-A-M. Adoniram Judson. He was a missionary in Burma, and he had worked there. He's been working there. His work was there for about 40 years, and a tireless worker, just a tireless worker. And after a few years, his wife became very ill, and he had to send her home by boat. Everything was by boat at that time. And this man, he knew that when he sent his wife home, he was not going to see her for 2 years. Now, I can't imagine myself being away from Marie for more than a week or two. It just doesn't fit. Just doesn't. It's not a comfortable thought. I don't want to see it happen. Although we were part a few times when I was working on this railroad business. And it was not enjoyable when I was away. It just—it was uncomfortable. It was very aggravating, irritating, because I was not with the kids. But this man did it for 40 years in Burma, That's away from home, away from folks, everything. And when he wrote in his diary, he wrote, if we could only find a quiet place on earth and just rest and forget about all these troubles, all these problems. And then he thought about what he did and what he said and what he wrote. And then he wrote in this. Then he said later on in his book, in his diary, I guess he came to his senses and he says, no. I've worked so many years with these people. I am one of the few, very few, that knows the Burmese language to teach these people the good news. He knew the language. He knew how they spoke. He knew their vernaculars. He knew everything that he needed to know. And he just said, no, I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. Commitment. 40 years. Commitment. To me, that is something that really strikes in my mind, is people that can do this kind of work, missionary work, for years, away from home, away from friends, from everything. After a few years, your friends are no longer your friends because they've moved on, you've moved on. And, yeah, you know each other. You know about each other. You knew of each other, but no longer friends. And a friend is something that, you know, sticks closer than a brother. And that's what Jesus said he is. He's a friend of yours. And you can't get much closer. I know that Bill and I spent a couple of hours last night talking on the phone during the football game and watching it and having fun. We were laughing and joking about a lot of things. He's a friend. I can spend time with Bill, and he can spend time with me, and we just enjoy each other's company. At least I do, anyway. I don't know about him. Thank you, Bill. And it's to have a friend. Sure, you've got your family, but still, a friend is a different situation. And when you commit yourself to a friend, it's a whole different ballgame. Each time that you are acquainted with somebody, whether it's family or a friend or a stranger, it's a different situation. The situation causes you to think about other things than just yourself, because there will be a demand on your character. There will be demands on the ways that you walk, the way you think, because each person causes you to do another thing that is just a little bit different than you did for the other person. I think I read this story once before to you folks, but I want to repeat it because of the time of... It's called The Christmas Gift. And I read this once before, but it's about a man named Paul who received an automobile from his brother at Christmas present. When Paul came out of the office on Christmas Eve, a ragged-looking little guy was standing around and looking at the shiny new car, and he admired it. "Is this your car, mister?" he asked. And Paul nodded, and he says, "Yeah, my brother gave it to me for Christmas." The boy was astounded. "You mean your brother gave it to you and it didn't cost you nothing? Boy, I wish he..." He hesitated. Of course, Paul knew what he was going to wish for. He was going to wish for that he had a brother like that. But what the lad said jarred Paul all the way down to his heels. "I wish," the boy went on, "that I could be a brother like that." Paul looked at the boy in astonishment. Then impulsively he added, "Would you like to take a ride in my automobile?" "Oh, yes, I love that." After a short ride, the boy turned with his eyes aglow and said, "Mister, would you mind driving in front of my house?" Now, Paul smiled a little and he thought, well, yeah. He knew what that little boy wanted. He wanted to show his neighbors that he could ride home in a big automobile. But Paul was wrong again. "Will you stop there where those steps are?" the boy asked. He stopped. The boy got out. He ran up the stairs. Then in a little while, Paul heard him coming back. But he was coming back very slowly because he was carrying his little crippled brother. He sat him down on the bottom step. Then he sort of squeezed up against him and says, and he pointed to the car. He says, "There she is, buddy, just like I told you, upstairs. His brother gave it to him for Christmas, and it didn't cost him a cent. And someday I'm going to give you one just like it. Then you can see for yourself all the pretty things in the Christmas windows that I've been trying to tell you about." Paul got out of his car, lifted the lad to the front seat of his car, and the older brother climbed in beside him, and the three of them began a memorable holiday ride. That Christmas Eve, Paul learned that Jesus meant what Jesus meant when he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The author of that little story is unknown. But when I read that one, I read it again this a couple of days ago, and I thought, boy, what a story. That little child is what you call commitment. He's committed to that little guy, to his little brother. And that's the way we got to be. That's the way we should be. Committed to the Lord, committed to your family, committed to the people that you love. Because your commitment will cause people to think. They'll see your actions. They'll see what Jesus has done for you. I know that, and I pray that as I commit my life to the Lord and to do the things that He wants me to do, I pray that I have the strength and the courage to carry out those commitments. Today is just a day before New Year's Eve, a new beginning, a new year. I don't make any resolutions. Resolutions to me are a good way to build up a guilt trip. I know that when I was younger, I was smoking. I tried to give up smoking, and a few other, just doing the things that I did, and I knew that they were bad, and I knew that they were no good, but I had no direction. I had no way of straightening those things out. I didn't have the I didn't have what it took inside of me. I just didn't have it. But when I met Jesus, when I committed my life to Him, I found out that I had all those things that I lacked before. Now, what changed? What caused the change? Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is in me. Praise be to God. Now, I want to ask you folks to think about these things. How deep is your commitment? How deep are your thoughts on commitment? It scares me at times when I realize how I've failed in a few things. Yeah, I'd like to consecrate my life to Jesus Christ, to God the Father, the kingdom. Will I have the gumption or the guts to do it all the way through? Lord knows what's going to come ahead of us in our lives. We don't know. But if our eyes are on Jesus and not on the troubled waters, if our eyes are on Jesus and not the strong winds against us, if our eyes are on Jesus, I'll guarantee you, that he'll get you through anything that you come up against. God will comfort those that need comforting. And when you receive comfort, you comfort others. Bless those people that are in need of comfort. I pray that there's anybody here that needs comfort. Let's talk. Let's find out what God says. He said that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll bless you. He'll keep you in his hands, under his wings, like a mother hen. That's comfort. It reminds me of how those penguins, they show this on TV a few times about these penguins and how the female lays the eggs and then takes off for the ocean to get some food. And the male penguin takes that egg between his feet and holds it up off the ground and covers it for days, weeks, in 100 degree below zero weather. And those eggs are kept warm under the Father. Comfort. And then later on, as the weather warms up and the chicks are finally hatched, then you see those little heads poking out of that, under that warm fur. And you say, now there's comfort, because they crawl right back in again. As soon as they look around and it's cold and windy, and they just get right back under it again. You know, it's to comfort one another. That is a commitment on your own too. That's something else that you need. To understand that you are being comforted by the Father, and you can commit your lives to Him, because He's not going to let you from under His wings. His wings will protect you from everything. Praise the Lord. I pray that after these words that you've heard, and the stories that I've read and told you, that they make you think about what you're doing in the next year. Where's your going to be? What your commitment's going to be? How you resolve to do certain things that need to be done? Helping others. Helping each other. Walking with the Lord. Being strengthened by His presence. There's so much to do in this world. So much to do. There are so many people that are hurting. Be a comfort to those people. Be a light to those people. Let your light shine. And give praise and glory to the Lord, our Father, our God in heaven. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the blessing that you've given me. I thank you for the joy that you've given me in this season. I thank you for the family that I have, this family right here. I know that when I call upon any one of them, they're ready to help. They walk and they talk in the way that they should. They give me joy. They give me a friendship that I've always desired. And Father, we give you praise and glory for this season, for this new year that we're facing. We thank you that you've given us another time to reflect upon our actions, our words, our thoughts, our cares. Lord, let them be a glory to you. And let our light shine through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in His name we pray. Amen. Amen.